We are now joined by the former Prime Minister of Rwanda, Faustin Twegeri Mungu. Are you there, sir?
D'accord.
Hello?
Hello.
Ah, bingo. Now you're, I hear you fine. Thank you. Can you tell us, we apologize for being a little delayed in reaching you, but Colonel Patrick Karegeya was assassinated this past January 1st in Johannesburg, South Africa. The world was quite shocked at this event, and the unfolding of it is very worrisome. I want to ask you, first of all, who, in your view, how significant is the colonel in current affairs? What was he attempting to do? How important is he?
Well, Karegeya was such a person who accomplished a lot as far as the government of Kagame was concerned. He has been in these security services for 10 years, and I believe he must have been the best advisor to General Kagame, who is the president of Rwanda. Mm-hmm. And mind you, Mr. Karegeya did not participate in the war as such. He did not come as a fighter in Rwanda. He was still working for the Ugandan government. Mm-hmm. Then, at the start of 1995, Kagame requested the president of Uganda to send Mr. Karegeya to help him to install or establish the security services in Rwanda. Then Karegeya came to Rwanda, and he remained there. He was a Ugandan Rwandan, if you wish, but he had an expertise in these typical services.
Mm-hmm.
So, to speak, Karegeya was not a small man. He was a big man. He was a good advisor to Kagame. I can't tell how they came to, you know, to have differences as far as the management of the country is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Now he led a would be, joined with others a former another former general who that would be General Yamwasa, and there had been an attempt on his life in 2010, and indeed they have people in custody, and there as I understand a verdict is going to come down. There was also Teagen Rudasingwa. These are major figures in the RPF government of recent years. I notice the president is calling them all terrorists. What do you know of the organization that they formed and what their intentions were?
Well, the intention was to be in a position to oppose General Kagame, whom they did help to establish the government in Rwanda. I have to recall that, or to remind your listeners that Karegeya left Rwanda in 2007. He went to South Africa as a refugee. After 1 year and a half, I think, in prison, if not more. And then when Nyamwasa himself decided to leave the government as an ambassador, he was invited to come to South Africa by Karegeya. Mm-hmm. So both of them decided then to engage in the political opposition and decided to contact Teagen Rudasingwa, who was living in the USA. So in 2010, they established the organization, which seriously attacked the system politically, I understand, mm-hmm. until some of them were hunted down like animals. Mr. Nyamwasa, General Nyamwasa, was shot down, as you said. Well, mm-hmm. He had a kind of assassination attempt, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, as you know, he was kept in the hospital where they went there to kill him. They missed him. But finally, now Karegeya has been the victim.
Mm-hmm.
He was strangled in a hotel, which means simply that Kagame is following each and everybody who tried to oppose him. Mm-hmm. Not only from people who were who belonged or who were members of RPF, like Mr. Sendashonga was assassinated, by the way, mm-hmm. in 1998.
Yes.
Now, in 2010, Mr. Nyamwasa, there has been this assassination attempt, and finally, at the 1st of January of this year, Karemera was also killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, we really don't have to speculate and say, well, who has been attempting to kill this guy?
Mm-hmm.
The only person in charge of these crimes is Mr. Kagame.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, now that's something, too, that, and I think it's very important to ask you, and this is former Prime Minister of Rwanda, Faustin Twagiramungu. Now, we've had this reaction that I was very struck by. Within days, the head of the army, the foreign minister, and the president himself all made highly provocative and disparaging remarks about Mr. Karegeya and how they didn't care how he died or where he died and et cetera, to the point where even I noticed the U.S. State Department found this too much. But what do you make of those kinds of remarks? What sort of people are we dealing with?
Well, I think what I can simply say, both of them, the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the President himself, they don't have a kind of statesmanship. Frankly, the way they behaved was a kind of, not childish actually, it is probably somebody who has got a very deep hatred in his heart against a human being who really wanted to change his own country. But when we have all, well, like myself, I want that the politics in Rwanda be changed positively so that we can express our own feelings politically or otherwise. But someone who comes and say, well, that I must be killed, mm-hmm. instead of attacking me in justice or otherwise, then frankly, he does not deserve the right to be either president or minister of foreign affairs.
Mm-hmm.
What they did mm-hmm. while the children of Karegeya was still mourning their father, it is just incredible. And I did not expect this from a president who shared with Karegeya whatever you can imagine, their own secret, the education in refugee camps, or let's say in Uganda,
mm-hmm.
working together in the same office at the time of liberation of Uganda, they used to call it liberation, and then coming back to Rwanda to build what they have today, and then try to negate and show a deep hatred against Karegeya. It was a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it was a shame.
Yeah, I was wondering, curious too. Now, someone, I forget his title, but had been in the leadership also of the Rwandan government years back, now lives, I believe, in London. He said that this government seems to think it has a license to kill, that it can do this and will not suffer any consequence.
But you know why? You know why? It is now 20 years.
Yes.
Mr. Kagame has always been talking, he stopped genocide. Mm-hmm. So the license he has got is to have stopped genocide, while the international community has been observing, not preventing the genocide.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the kind of license given to Mr. Kagame.
Mm-hmm.
The State Department, of course, has issued this communique, as you said, but it is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
They have always allowed him to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He killed the priest in July 1994, well, including bishops,
I mean
religious people in Kabgayi. Then he killed people in Kibeho,
mm-hmm.
and this has been testified by the international community through Mr. Sharia Khan, who was the special representative of the Secretary General of UN.
Mm-hmm.
80,000 people. But imagine how many people were killed in Srebrenica,
mm-hmm.
Bosnia.
Mm-hmm.
And So President Milosevic has been taken to jail in the Hague, mm-hmm. but still Kagame is still in power. In 1996, Kagame destroyed the refugee camps while the United States has been looking on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, preventing him not to destroy these camps. And then they give him a license to continue hunting down refugees. He mm-hmm. killed hundreds of thousands of refugees. The mapping report is there to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he continues.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now he's going to assassinate opposition people in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried even in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he will also attempt to do it in any other European country. So
yeah.
this is the license to kill.
Yes.
But why?
Mm-hmm.
I think it has been for 20 years. Now it has to stop.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, yes, there was a Burundian convicted in a Swedish court of being an assassin on behalf of the Rwandan government.
Exactly.
And
that is why they have caught. There are so many others hiding here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And the gentleman remains in power. He goes to Davos, he makes a statement.
Yes.
You know? He threatens the other president, he's trying to kill Kikwete. Mm-hmm. Nobody says a word. The Americans, I mean, not the Americans. I have to be quite clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
The American government should warn this gentleman
mm-hmm.
that it is enough. 20 years of license to kill, now it has to stop.
Yes, I would wonder if you would agree. I mean, that he has two very famous and prominent advisors, one of them Bill Clinton, but the other is described as a personal advisor, special advisor, and that's Tony Blair. I'd like to know, is this the advice you gave him?
Well, those advisors, I frankly don't know. I always personally criticize Mr. Clinton himself and Mr. Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm.
Not only those two gentlemen who is respected worldwide, you know,
mm-hmm.
as politicians who have accomplished a lot positively, but now trying to support a criminal in power in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have only those two respected personalities. You also mm-hmm. have some religious people like Dick Warren, you know,
yes.
who is a pastor. Respected pastor in USA.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are fighting to get Kagame in power in Rwanda
mm-hmm.
under the only pretext that he stopped the genocide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is, I think, 20 years of having such a license to kill whenever you want
mm-hmm.
and remaining in power and challenging and sorting people who are strangled by his own henchmen, you call them in English, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is terrible.
Yes.
It is really terrible. The world is watching. Nobody says a word.
Yes. That is
we
the
have
most...
to stop this. This is... I personally believe that to assist such a criminal, it is a crime in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it means...
Yeah.
Tony Blair,
mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton, Dick Warren, and the others, assisting Kagame as a criminal, they are themselves engaged in a crime.
Yes. Well, I would have to agree. I mean, see, you know, once something like this occurs, they either have to separate themselves from this person or they are his co-conspirators in the sense that they are keeping him in power. By the way, at Davos, he was asked again, this is Kagame, about this assassination of Karageya. He said, "Oh no, we didn't do that, but I wish that we did."
Yeah,
that was his
I'm
answer.
Very sorry to say this. I have known Kagame for a while. For me, he's a big liar.
Mm.
When we know, we Rwandans, probably you Westerners, you don't know, or you don't want to tell. He assassinated the President Habyarimana, not only Habyarimana,
mm-hmm.
along with his colleague from Burundi, the President Ntaryamira.
Mm-hmm.
The entire world knows what has been a combination of these events.
Mm-hmm.
Events which provoked genocide in Rwanda. Nobody today wants to say a word. And they know that Kagame did it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once on BBC, he said, well, I did it. If I wouldn't have done it, Mr. Byarimana would have done it and killed me. Which means he agreed he killed them.
Yes.
But still he's in power.
Yes.
Not only that.
Yes.
As he assassinated the other Rwandan leaders.
Yes. And by the way, with that assassination, the Arusha Accords died. He murdered not just a man, he killed the Arusha Accords.
Exactly. But what I want to say is this. He always say, no, I did not do it. In English. In Rwanda, he agrees he did, but in English he says, I did not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like recently in Davos, he said, well, not me. But we remember that once he was invited in what they call prayer breakfast, he said, yes, we did. We must say that. We must confess we did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he's pretending that, well, what the Americans did to Bin Laden is what I did to Karegeya. Can you imagine? So,
yeah.
Always the gentleman has been denying what he did. And always the people have agreed with him that he did not do it. This is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
I did not kill people in the Congo. I did not invade the Congo. I did not assist M23. I did not kill Karegeya. I did not kill Habyarimana. I did not kill Gatabazi. I did not kill... Well, then who is killing them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is a, I guess the word is cynical, this exercise. We're speaking to the former Prime Minister of Rwanda, Faustin Twagiramungu, and we're very honored to have this opportunity because, of course, the former Prime Minister knows all the figures involved in this matter. And we I want to ask you about a second phase of this issue of Kagame and his outlook. Role. There was an event organized in New York with the former UNAMIR officer Romeo Dallaire, and it was convened by the Rwandan ambassador to the United Nations. And the issue was the forewarning, how we could prevent genocide in the future. Now, this had to do. The reason Dallaire was there was that there is a fax. It's called the Dallaire fax, and there's a lot of questions about the fax. But the content of it basically said, I was speaking to a very, very important government leader who has sent me an informant, and he's provided information which we have to act on. Now, history has established that you are the very, very informant, very, very important individual who, according to General Dallaire, introduced him to the famous informant. I think it's very important that, one thing I don't, you weren't invited to be there. It seems to me that you're the, should have also been invited since, after all, you're central to this famous fax. Can you tell us, what's your memory of the informant and what you think happened there?
Well, before I say a word about my own memory about the facts, it is really regrettable that people despise us sometimes. For what reasons, I can't tell. Before inviting General Dallaire, they would have invited me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I am the source of this information, why people did choose to invite Mr. Dallaire without inviting me, I don't know. If Mr. Dallaire has written that fax, if he would also have asked me if the content of the fax was correctly corresponding to the information I gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, it did not correspond at all. Yeah. The word he used, that people could be killed 2,010 minutes.
Yes.
Nobody has mentioned this fact unless it has been invented by some other people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Mr. Dallaire, before sending this fact, he should have approached the Rwandan authorities. We had a government, the president of Rwanda was still alive, and the prime minister, who was from my own political party, was still alive,
mm-hmm.
and under this minister, we had intelligence services.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have, in first place, requested their information and verify or check if what Mr. Tulatinde said was correct.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Mr. Tulatinde managed to, not to invent, but to, you know, to
mm-hmm.
to send some facts which were not verified, because we suspect that maybe RPF was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bobo himself did not know that Mr. Dallaire sent such facts containing such information of planning of genocide. We would have, we as Rwandans, prevented this event if we were informed that the plan existed. You know? So I think now, after 20 years, we have to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk about planning of a genocide was a very serious matter.
Mm-hmm.
If people did not want to follow it, and at the end, to only find that such planning did not exist,
mm-hmm.
but a provocation of genocide by the shooting down of presidential aircraft, mm-hmm. then the expressions have to be given by those who were involved in that fact, I mean, the content of the facts,
mm-hmm.
and also some people in UN who did not try to check if this content was real.
Mm-hmm.
This is my own reaction to this fact.
It certainly needs to be revisited at this time, because, you know, I was struck by the, you know, we're hearing these speeches on the 12th, blood-curdling threats to people, and then on the 15th they're at the United Nations revisiting a story which has been badly distorted. Can I ask you, to your impression, what did you think the informant was saying when you met, when you heard of him? And my memory is you did not sit down with the famous informant at all.
Not at all. I haven't met this gentleman. Just a friend of mine came to my office and said, well, I am a neighbor to a gentleman who pretends to be friendly to Interahamwe, Mr. Tulatinde Abubakar.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned to me that there are arms gathered in the building of MRND, and these arms will be used against the opposition, against MRND. He never mentioned that these arms were to kill Tutsis or were a sign of planning a genocide. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I simply did not want to keep this information for me, because Tulatinde wanted me, as Mr. Fosseto Giramungo, Prime Minister designate, mention his own case to the UNAMIR, so that the UNAMIR can take him from Rwanda and take him in Europe or in USA or in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So the first feeling for Mr. Tulatinde was to leave the country for his own interest, or simply because he knew what was going to happen. This I can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mr. Dallaire came and said, well, I sent a fax. He simply told me. He sent a fax to UN, and the UN responded, no.
Mm-hmm.
They can't give him a kind of visa to go to USA, nor to Canada or any European country.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. So the information is insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand by that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we left the case as it was. Nobody mentioned about this fact until after the genocide. I came to learn that I was the person who gave information to UNAMIR.
Yes.
I did not meet Mr. Tulatinde. I don't know Mr. Tulatinde. Who was this Mr. Tulatinde? I came to know that he was an office boy to MRND,
mm-hmm.
but an office boy who was also kind of an intelligent guy for RPF, because finally he left the country and he joined RPF.
Mm-hmm. Yes, people did not know that, but they do know now. His wife said he became a member of the RPF.
Exactly.
And, of course, there's a possibility he already was. I mean, but it is troubling. The story they built it on information allegedly from you, which is not accurate.
For me, this information was not accurate. Let me tell you, if it were the case of planning to kill Tutsi, why did not, why Mr. General Dallaire, why did not he inform the people who were in CND, RPF soldiers who were there? Mm-hmm. Why? He should have informed them. Mm-hmm. There is a plan. Why one has to keep this planning of genocide from January to April? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why UN did know that the planning was there and kept this information until the genocide took place?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. Well, there is something wrong, I think. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we are still alive to tell the truth.
Yes, you were very nearly killed, actually. People should understand. You had a very close call.
Exactly. For me, I think I have to know if this genocide has been planned, not only to kill Tutsis, but to kill people in the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers, their wives, my nieces and nephews, and other relatives of mine have been killed simply because I was in opposition. They were not killed because they were Tutsi.
Mm-hmm.
So I am also interested to know how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
it is, if sometimes, let me tell you, I am so sad. The events of my country concern Rwandans. The events of my country do not concern particularly the UN and people living in some other countries than Rwanda. I am still alive. I have a player in Rwandan politics. I have been an actor in Rwandan politics.
Mm-hmm.
Why such an event is organized in the UN and I am not invited? Why? To tell them the truth.
Well,
to give them my own testimony.
Indeed, and incidentally, isn't that really what we're talking about? Someone who's established a kind of political monopoly where none of these events can be discussed unless they go through that monopoly.
That's exact. So was not. I hope I was not invited simply because I am Hutu.
Well, there is also that possibility.
This is terrible.
We know that in the case of
his own brothers killed,
mm-hmm.
like the Tutsi were killed. What kind? I am a Rwandan.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can just establish. You know, there's something else about this story that I've always been struck by, is that it's treated as though it would be one informant who had all this information. There was no, at the time of, in 1994, there were no shortage of so-called informants. Is that true? I mean, there wasn't just one person running around with stories. Many people were hearing stories, were they not?
A shortage of informants in what services? In Rwandan services?
I mean that there were people coming forward telling that they knew about things, that there were rumors all over Kigali, I understand.
Yeah, of course, these rumors were created by people who were in CND, creating confusion so that they can come to their own planning of killing President Habyarimana,
mm-hmm.
and also trying to create an atmosphere of fear.
Mm-hmm.
In Kigali.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to agree that the mistake we did was to invite RPF to live with us in CND.
Mm-hmm.
They started with one battalion, they end up with about 3 to 6 people, discarded all over the country, creating horrible situations, assassinations of Katabazi, assassination of Gapisi, assassination of other leaders. All over the country. And we were mistaken by that time, because we used to think that these people were killed by MRND, which was wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw
an interview with you, by the way, and I really hope people would read this, the digital journal .com, where there's an interview with Faustin Tugiri Mungu detailing this, but yes, you were in a situation, and you detail it there, that they had the sort of hegemony in spreading false information.
Of course, most of this was in false information. And I think the only mistake done was, we were kind of being on the trusteeship of UNAMIR, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A typical colonized country by UNAMIR. Mm-hmm. Information were not controlled by us. Information were sent by UN without advising the government or without asking the government if it was true or no. You know, soldiers could not take the arms where they were under control. But RPF was free in CND with the arms, even taking the arms from Mulindi to Kigali.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was a terrible case.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a terrible case. And when we remember all this, we certainly believe maybe we were naive,
mm-hmm.
or we were colonized, or we had much trust in UNAMIR, without knowing that the UNAMIR was very weak and not controlled by UN as such.
I think your message is really is important. I hope in this 20th year anniversary that finally all these points will be heard, and any future events, particularly held at the United Nations, in my opinion, Prime Minister Faustin Tugiri Mungu should be there to share his thoughts. We really appreciate it, sir. It's very good to talk to you.
It would have been a pleasure to me to talk to you, too. Thank you so much for having invited me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Faustin Tugiri Mungu, former Prime Minister of Rwanda. I'm going to tell you, get digitaljournal.com, and we will, and you will find the article. It was published on January the 15th. Rwandan politician says Dallaire never spoke of genocide plan. If General Dallaire is available, we'd be quite happy to talk to him about this. And any of his associates actually always like to ask him, particularly about the latest remarks of the President Kagame.